wrote before he was martyred. And in it, he talks about how he finished his course and so forth. But before then, he reminds Timothy about the importance of preaching the Word of God, which is what our topic is today. Interestingly enough, for the three pastoral epistles, which are 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, actually one-fourth of those books, one-fourth of the verses are commands given to pastors specifically. And this passage is an example of those. It doesn't mean we can't apply them to our lives. We just need to be careful that we know whose mail we're reading. In this case, he is speaking specifically to Timothy as the pastor at Ephesus, who Paul, of course, put there as the pastor after training him. And he says there in verse 1, I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. So my title is going to come from verse 2, which is simply preach the word. Let's pray. Lord, I pray now that you would teach and grow us, that you would guide us in your truth. Lord, that Jesus would be magnified. But Lord, we would learn some things that would help us in our Christianity. Lord, you would comfort us, convict us, whatever the need might be. I pray you'd speak to our hearts and, Lord, we would leave changed. We would leave saying it was truly good to be in the house of the Lord. We give it to you and love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as I mentioned, one-fourth of these books is to pastors. And he's writing to Timothy and he's talking about the importance of the preached Word of God. And that's going to be our focus today, is the importance of the Word of God being preached from God's pulpit in God's churches. Notice in verse 1, he says, I charge thee. He says, I want you to realize that you will give account. He says, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Now, we're all going to give account. We've studied this before. The Bible says we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. In the book of Romans chapter 14 and in 2 Corinthians, we're told that we're going to stand before the judgment seat and not give account for our sins, hallelujah. That's dealt with at Calvary. But we will give account for what we did with what he gave us. He gave us salvation, but he also gave us gifts. And he gave us the gospel. He gave us everything. And he wants to know, what did we do with it? Were we good stewards? And we'll give account. But pastors will also give account separately. If you go to Hebrews 13, verse 17, very sobering verse for pastors, that they will also give account not only as Christians, but as shepherds of God's flocks. Notice Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account. So notice, pastors will also give account for watching over God's flocks. And he's telling Timothy, I charge you. I'm giving you a charge as the pastor of the church at Ephesus. This is what is very important, Timothy. This is my final words, if you will, my final chapter. And he says there in verse 2, preach the word. Just those three words. When we have our expository workshops and when we do the Vision to Serve camp over in Australia, these are my top three words to the preachers that come. Just preach the word. And it might sound simplistic, but if it was simplistic, then more pastors would do it. Amen? It's not simplistic. It's a lot of work. God refers to it as those who labor in word and doctrine, which we'll look at later. But I want us to see that this is a theme of the pastoral epistles. Quickly, let's look at some scriptures. 1 Timothy 4, 6. We'll do them in order. But I just want you to see this is not just a one-off thing. But the pastors are to preach the word. 1 Timothy 4, 6. He says, but if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things. Thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. So put them in remembrance. And then in 1 Timothy 4:11, these things command and teach. And then 1 Timothy 5:7, he says, and these things give in charge that they may be blameless. Then over in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 14, he says it again, of these things, put them in remembrance. And then Titus chapter 2, if you turn over there, verse 15. He says, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. And in Titus chapter 3, verse 8, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly. So as you can see, the charge that he's giving to Timothy is to preach the word, to put them in remembrance, to command, to charge, to affirm, but to give God's people God's word. Why is that so important? Well, because this book is powerful. Amen? And we often don't recognize or understand just how powerful this book is. I mean, yes, we all know Hebrews 4:12, most of us. The word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and so forth. But, you know, this book has the power to resist the devil. It's called the sword of the spirit in Ephesians 6:17. Can you find anything else in this room, in this city, that has the power to resist the devil? This book has the power to keep us from falling. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee, we're told. In Psalm 119:11, has the power to ground us as Christians. It has the power to lead the way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This book has the power to bring success in our lives. Joshua 1:8. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success, he says, if you'll hide these words in your heart. It has the power to build our faith. Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It has the power to perfect us. Ephesians 4:12, for the perfecting of the saints. Now that's just some examples. But he didn't say to Timothy, I want you to preach stories from your life, did he? Or I want you to preach amazing illustrations. Because don't you know illustrations are windows to the soul? He didn't say that. No, he said, I want you to preach the word. And it fascinates me how many preachers say they believe in the power of God's word, but the way they choose to preach it says otherwise. Because they're saying they believe more in the power of their ability to preach rather than the power of the word itself. And I find that quite scary. If you go to 1 Corinthians 1:17, Paul made it very clear that when he preached the word, it was about the word and not about him. And it can't be about us as preachers. It needs to be about this book and its power to change and transform and reach lives for the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice 1 Corinthians 1:17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Look what he says next. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. In other words, my job is not to impress you with my vocabulary, Paul's saying. Not with wisdom of words, or to show you what amazing wisdom God has given me. My job is to preach the word and let the word do its work in hearts. While you're in 1 Corinthians, go to the next chapter, chapter 2, verse 4. Paul says, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. In other words, when I preached, I didn't preach in a way to try to entice you to do something. I didn't use the power of speech or my great oratory ability to try to change you or bring an emotion into your life to try to get you to respond in some way. No. I'm going to trust in the power of the word to do those things. And yet many people today believe, no, it's dependent upon the preacher to be an amazing orator, an amazing speaker in a way that people's lives will be changed. Only the word has that power. Speakers don't have that power. And it'd be wonderful if more would recognize this. Go to Acts chapter 20 quickly. Paul here, as he was saying farewell to the elders at Ephesus, he made it very clear that he had done his best to accomplish his mission before leaving Ephesus, where he had spent over a year planting a church, which is, by the way, the church that he put Timothy in charge of. But here in Acts chapter 20, verse 27, he says, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Isn't that good? In other words, I have done my best to give you balanced teaching, to teach you from the Old Testament, to teach you from the New Testament, to teach you practical, to teach you doctrinal, to teach you all the counsel of God. And then he goes on to say to the elders, take heed therefore unto yourselves, you elders, and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God. So he says to those elders, he says, I've done my best to teach you all the counsel of God. Now your job is to what? Feed the church. Feed them what? Feed them the Word of God. And then 1 Peter chapter 5, turn there quickly if you would. Remember when Peter was by the seashore and Jesus questioned him after he had gone fishing and it wasn't really God's will. And he sat him down and he asked him three times if he loved him. And all three times after Peter answered, Jesus said, feed my sheep, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. Well, Peter obviously learned that because here in chapter 5, verse 2, he says, feed the flock of God. Who's he writing to? Verse 1, I'm writing to elders, the pastors of the churches. Feed the flock of God. Feed them the Word of God. And so he's saying to Timothy, Timothy, this is your primary responsibility. Preach the Word. Let the Word do its work. The Word is powerful. If you will give the Word, the Holy Spirit will take the Word and use it in lives in ways that man cannot understand until we get to heaven. Because this is not just any book, is it? This is the living Word of God. And God wants it to be preached. And what he means by that is to preach the Word. And I personally believe that means to exposit the Word. If you go to Luke 24, 27, I'll show you an example of this. I know I'm lingering here a bit on this chapter, verse 2. We'll be moving, don't worry. But here in Luke chapter 24, verse 27, the Lord Jesus Christ, remember he met these men after his resurrection who at first didn't recognize him. And then he took the time to teach them out of the Scriptures. Notice Luke 24, 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself. The Lord Jesus Christ himself did a Bible study with these people on the road. And it says he opened up or he expounded the Scriptures and basically went through the Old Testament. He said, that's me, that's me, that's me, that's me. Wouldn't that be amazing to have that study with Jesus? Maybe we can have that in heaven. Amen. But he expounded, it says. And in Nehemiah 8, when they had their great revival, because they had opened the Word of God and started to read it and understand it, it says they read in the book of the law of God distinctly, they gave the sense, and they caused them to understand the reading in Nehemiah 8:8. That's what expository preaching is. It's not wisdom of words. It's not enticing words of man's wisdom. It's preaching the Word itself and letting the Word preach itself, which is what God is after. So back to our verse, 2 Timothy 4:2. Preach the Word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And so now he's giving us the power of preaching. Now, there's two kinds of preaching in the Bible. Make sure you have them in context. We're all to be preachers of the gospel. Right? You shall be witnesses unto me, Acts 1:8. He said, after that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. We're all to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to lost people. That's not what this passage is talking about. This is talking about pastors preaching the Word of God in church. which is what happened in the early church. But go to Acts 11:26, and we'll just see this quickly, an example. And he's giving us the power of the preached word of God. Notice Acts 11:26. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. It came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. So here in Antioch, they assembled the people for a year and taught them the scriptures. And interestingly enough, in our minds, when we read verses like that, do you know what we see? We see the whole church assembling, don't we? For every teaching session. Because they couldn't get enough. They were there. They had to have the word. And that should be our attitude. But as we see here in 2 Timothy 4:2, reprove. So it has the power to reprove. What does that mean? It means to convict. In Titus 1:9, he says, I want you to, by sound doctrine, convince the gainsayers. It says, when they heard it, they were convicted by their own conscience. That's the same Greek word, by the way. That's in John, where the Pharisees brought the woman taken in adultery. And Jesus said, he that is without sin cast the first stone. And it says they being convicted by their own conscience. Same Greek word. So now we know by the word reprove means to convict. So the word of God has the power to convict. And if you've been a Christian a while and you've been in church and you've heard the preached word of God, you know what he's talking about. Where the Holy Spirit takes it and convicts your heart of something in your life that you know you need to change or confess. Then he uses the word rebuke. That means to correct. And again, in the pastoral epistles, 1 Timothy 5:20, rebuke. Titus 1:13, rebuke them sharply. Titus 2:15, rebuke with all authority. So the Word of God has the power to convict. It has the power to correct us. And then he says exhort, which in other places is translated as comfort. And again, all through the pastoral epistles, he's told to Timothy and Titus are both told to exhort people with the word of God. So he says, with all long suffering, 2 Timothy 4:2. I think too many preachers, as they say they believe in the power of the word of God, but their preaching says otherwise because they're not willing to wait. People's lives being changed, it's a process, isn't it? You don't go from being a baby Christian to a mature Christian in a couple of weeks. It takes time. It takes work. It takes waiting. It takes the Holy Spirit to make changes in your life. And we're very stubborn people. And so it takes a lot of work for the Holy Spirit to clean things up, if you will. And I think a lot of preachers become impatient. And so they think it's more about maybe screaming louder or jumping on the stage harder or being a better speaker or something because people just aren't changing fast enough. No, it's long suffering. You just have to be patient and believe that the Holy Spirit has the power to change lives through the Word and let the Word do its work. And so it has the power to reprove, rebuke, exhort, but then he says all long suffering. And then this big word, which we mentioned in Sunday school, the word doctrine. Doctrine. What a beautiful word. Doctrine. Look at Titus 1:9. Titus chapter 1, verse 9. Holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convince the gainsayers. This is one of the qualifications of a pastor, that he uses sound doctrine. Sound, meaning it comes from God's word, and it's consistent, of course, with context and so forth. Titus 2:1, look there. Speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Doctrine is another word for truth, and it comes from the book of truth. Amen? The word of God. Now look at 1 Timothy 3:15, if you would, quickly. And it helps us to understand this amazing statement about God's local church. 1 Timothy 3:15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the what? Truth. Isn't that just beautiful? It doesn't say that YouTube is the pillar and ground of the truth, even though a lot of people think it is. It says the local church is. That's where we're to learn truth. And that's where we are to hear truth. And be convicted by truth is in the church of God, the pillar and ground of the truth. So he says to Timothy, preach the word. Be instant. In other words, be prepared. Always be preaching the word. Just keep preaching the word. And sometimes people aren't going to grow as fast as you want, but just preach the word and reprove and rebuke and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Beautiful verse. But then verse 3. Let's go there. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Folks, that time is here. This is a prophecy of the last days, and we are in the last days. There is no question. When 90-something percent of churches no longer preach sound doctrine, and the reason for that is because people don't want it. They instead want to be entertained. They want excitement. They want emotionalism. But the last thing they want to hear is the Word of God and be convicted by it, and be told by the Holy Spirit that they need to change their lives. They don't want to hear that. They just want to hear, God loves you and I love you and everything's wonderful. Now go be happy. That's what they want to hear. They don't want to hear sound doctrine. And what it's telling us is those who cannot endure sound doctrine are those who do not emphasize or expect expository preaching. The two are mutually exclusive, are they not? Because expository preaching gives sound doctrine. Well, the Bible says the time will come when they would not endure it. They don't want to hear it. They would rather go someplace where they can find an alternative to sound doctrine. And after their own lust, verse 3, shall they heap to themselves teachers. So instead, they're going to go places where they can have seminars and hear teaching rather than preaching. Is there a difference? Well, the Bible says Jesus went everywhere teaching and preaching. The disciples went everywhere teaching and preaching. So obviously, they're two different things. What's the difference? Well, teaching is primarily to impart information, whereas preaching, yes, it's to give the word, but it's primarily to bring about a change or a response in people's lives and their hearts. There's a purpose behind it, and that is that people would be changed. It says, verse 4, they shall turn away their ears from the truth. That word truth means doctrine, and shall be turned unto fables. And so people go to churches and they get told a lot of fables. And they believe them. And they tell others these fables. Things like, if you just get saved, you'll be rich and healthy and never have problems. That's a fable. It's certainly not truth from Scripture. Things like, well, when Paul wrote that women shouldn't be pastors, that's cultural. That's old school. So it's okay to have women pastors. You know, when Paul wrote, I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Yeah, that don't worry about that. We'll just put an X through that one. That's a fable. And we could go on and on, couldn't we? And so it's about doctrine. It's about truth. And he says people don't want truth. And what they're going to look for is an alternative to truth, which is fables. 1 Timothy 4:1 calls them doctrines of devils. Again, talking about the end times. Jesus said, beware of false prophets who come in sheep's clothing, inwardly are they ravening wolves. Peter said, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies. John said, there are many antichrists. So yes, false doctrine was going to be everywhere, and it's just going to be worse in the last days, and of course it is. But he says there in verse 5, watch thou in all things, Timothy. Endure afflictions, Timothy. Do the work of an evangelist, Timothy. What does he mean by that? Well, let's look at Ephesians 4:12. He means, Timothy, I want you to build your church. Do the work of an evangelist. When we hear the word evangelist, we think of a what I would call today an itinerant preacher, someone who travels from church to church and preaches. That's a great thing. And we've had some that come through here sometimes. But that's not an evangelist in the scriptural sense of the word. In the scriptural sense of the word, an evangelist is a church planter, someone who goes to another city and preaches and builds a church and reaches people and grounds them in the word. And he says, Timothy, do that, because look why I gave these types of people to the church, Ephesians 4:12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's how a church gets built, as the word of God is preached. So of all the things he could have said to Timothy in his last chapter that he wrote before he was martyred, he says, Timothy, preach the word. And people today think, oh, that's just too simplistic. It's got to be more to it than that. Surely if we don't have a coffee bar, we're never going to reach people. We've got to have this stuff, because that's what people want. Well, in Jesus' day, did he give them what they wanted or what they needed? Because what they wanted was a kingdom. What they wanted was when he had free food or to be healed of their ailments. But they didn't want to hear that they were sinners and that they needed to repent. And they hated hearing it so much that they nailed him to a cross. So, preach the word, Timothy. Be instant, in season, out of season. I want you to reprove with the word. I want you to rebuke with the word. I want you to give doctrine with the word and to exhort with the word. Because, Timothy, the time's going to come when people don't want sound doctrine, but give it anyway. And as we see in the book of Acts, when they started a church, everybody just came and they came and they came and they assembled and they assembled because they wanted doctrine. They wanted the word of God. They wanted truth. And so this is, yeah, for me, it's become more of my passion, if you will. I used to only have 10, whatever I call distinctives or whatever, on how to choose a good church, but I'm adding an 11th thing to my list, which is expository preaching. If a church doesn't have expository preaching, if it's just topical, if you just read one verse and then you have an outline, it's just based on somebody's gut, then that's not expository preaching. And so that's my 11th. You're saying, what are the 10? I'll give them to you quickly. They're on my phone if you want them. Number one is the charismatic gift rubbish and prosperity theology, obviously. That's everywhere. Women preachers is number two. The King James is number three. Eternal security is number four. Rock music is number five. The end times is number six. You know, most of the churches today are teaching that Christians are going to go into the tribulation or else there isn't going to be one. The Baptist Briders, of course, is number seven. And if you don't know what that is, just stay innocent, okay? Don't even try to figure it out. Just stay innocent. Number eight is salvation itself. Believe it or not, there are independent Baptist churches that teach what I call easy prayerism. Romans 10:13, just pray a prayer and you're going to heaven. That's not true. But there are other independent Baptist churches that go to the other end of the spectrum and say, if you're not, don't make Jesus Lord of your life, then you're not saved. Neither one are true. Calvinism, that's creeping into independent Baptist churches now. Covenant theology, believe it or not, we have an independent Baptist pastor in this country that teaches it. If you don't know what it is, just stay innocent. But it's basically teaching that the church has replaced Israel, which is a load of rubbish. And then, of course, I've added expository preaching. But anyway, this is all doctrine. Amen? That's how we should choose a church. That's how we should choose to stay in a church or to move to a different church, is based on doctrine. Because Paul said that's what it's all about. Timothy, preach the word. With all long suffering and doctrine, Just do that, Timothy, and do the work of an evangelist, and God will take care of the rest. Because, Timothy, the time is going to come. And we are in that time 2,000 years later, are we not? When they will not endure sound doctrine. So look for sound doctrine and stay there. Amen? And share the gospel with the lost. Tell them about the church that you found that has sound doctrine. Bring them along. Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. And be there yourself, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Preach the word. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful truth, simple and yet profound. Lord, that your word is so powerful that if your men would just preach it faithfully, faithful to context, faithful to the word itself, that the Holy Spirit will do the rest. Thank you that we can rely on this beautiful truth and on the power of your word and the Holy Spirit. And I pray, Lord, that we as your children would understand how powerful this is and expose ourselves to the word of God whenever we can, as you commanded us to assemble and not forsake our assembling. And Lord, I pray that each one of us would evaluate in our own hearts, how important is doctrine to me? And maybe we need to make some changes, or maybe there's someone in our service, Lord, that's not born again. I pray they'll realize that without Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they will not go to heaven. They must trust Christ and what he did at Calvary. And by rising again, offers them eternal life. And I pray they'll do that today. So have your will and way in our hearts. We love